I want to move forward in our series that we've been doing called On the Edge. And if you haven't been here before and been a part of this series, you're just jumping in to it. The intent of this series of talks has been to discover the excitement of following God. You know, it's exciting to follow the Lord. Now, it may not always be easy, but it's never boring. Sometimes it's hard. There's war. There's battles. There's challenges. There's trials. But it's never boring. Since I've come to serve the Lord, there may have been times where I felt like saying to the horse, "Whoa, I wish we could slow down a little bit." But I've never really been able to say, "Hey, this is just boring. There's nothing in this that's exciting at all." Because following Jesus Christ of Nazareth is an exciting life. And we've been using Abraham as an example of how exciting it is to walk by faith. And today we're going to focus on a teaching that I'm going to call Don't Create an Ishmael. Now, the last time we were with Abram, God had spoken to him and reiterated his promise to Abram. And Abram is like a lot of us. He's like all of us, really, in the human sense. And Abram, just as he was hearing these words from God, he said, "Lord, how can I know?" Everybody say, "How can I know?" How can I know that the things that you're saying to me are going to come to pass? Now, that sounds like a statement that might be fraught with a lack of faith, but we know Abraham had had faith because it said earlier when God had spoken to him that he had credited righteousness and power and things into Abram's life because of his faith. It was just the fact that Abram was looking to create a deep connection with God. He wanted a deep connection with him. And so we remember what happened as a result of that. God responded. He told Abram to go out and get some animals and cut them in two, all the larger animals except for the smaller ones, and to lay those animals there out as a sacrifice. And we understand, we remember what happened, that God came in the evening and he walked between those sacrifices and he cut covenant with Abram. And through covenant, God reiterated or validated his promise to Abram. So look at your neighbor and just tell them, say, "God does things for his children through covenant." And you know what that says to you? How many of you are children of God? Then you're in a covenant with God. And you're heirs of God. And you're joint heirs with Jesus. That means you share a common destiny with the King. He is invested in your life. He has promised that he is going to release into your life glory, power, anointing, liberty, freedom, all of those things that he possesses in his very own being. And the guarantee of that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The blood, we just took the blood in communion earlier, the blood speaks on our behalf. The blood says yes to the promises of God for us. And so Jesus has become our guarantee through covenant that whatever God has said to you, he's going to do it. So, turn to Genesis chapter 16, if you would. We're going to read a few verses today as we jump into what we're going to look at. Genesis 16, verse 1. It says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children.'" It's dangerous when you get your eyes off of God and begin to get it on yourself. "So she said, 'Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai, And then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And then Sarai said to Abram, "This was the wrong thing to do, buddy. This was the wrong decision." But she said, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you." Now, I want to look at something today that makes it challenging when we're trying to believe for a promise of God, and that's something called divine delay. A divine delay. Have you ever experienced a time lag between the period when God spoke to you and the time of the fulfillment of that? Some of you may be in that time lag right now. Well, Abram and Sarah, on one hand, they had this dynamic and powerful and incredible word from God. And on the other hand, they had the natural reality of the fact that Sarah had borne no children, and that it had been 10 years since God had originally spoken the word to them. And so Sarah, as she considered this, she began to get her eyes on herself, off of God, off the promise maker, off of the only one who could make this happen, and began to get their eyes on themselves, and I think that's really on herself. And I think that's real natural when you've been waiting a long time. I can remember there's been times, I think, where Rhonda and I, when we've been waiting on a promise from God and it hadn't come to pass in a while, it's easy to get your eyes off of God and start looking at one another and say, "Okay, what are you doing wrong that this hadn't come to pass? What have you done? Confess right now. Why is this taking so long?" And then the next thing you know, you're looking at yourself, you're looking at one another, and you're fighting, and you're wondering what's going on, And that's an easy thing to do. And I think Sarah gave into despair, and she concluded that for some reason the Lord had deemed her unfit as the vehicle of promise. Has a delay ever made you question God? Has a delay ever made you question His choice of you? And say, "Well, He probably has decided that He really doesn't want to use me in this area." Well, God does things through covenant. But when we begin to get our eyes off the promise maker and get our eyes on ourselves, we begin to lose perspective and questions begin to come in. And we get tired of waiting, we get tired of the questions, and we think that we got to give God a hand. So Sarah devises a plan that is not supernatural at its base, but will remove, she feels like, the pain of waiting and the pain of all of the questions why. I can remember Rhonda and I, when God began to speak to us about going into the ministry, we went in and told some of her family about it, and then it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. And then the next thing you realize, people are looking at you a little bit funny. And they start thinking, you know, these people are a little kooky. They're a little strange. I don't know who they think they are. And when those type of situations begin to arise, sometimes we begin to feel like we've got to do something about that to make that stop, to make the pain of that scrutiny go away. But listen, if you're going to be used in a supernatural walk with God, you must get used to being out of control, and you got to get used to God's timing. You have to get used to it. You got to get used to being out of control, and you have to get used to God's timing. Now, God's timing is rarely, and the only reason I even use the word rarely here is I thought there might have been an instance that I forgot where God's timing and my timing lined up. But God's timing is rarely, in my life, it has rarely or ever has it been my timing in my life. I struggle at times to think of something that happened in my life when I thought it ought to happen. I thought I was ready to marry at one point in my life. And God delayed that. He delayed that. Okay? There's so many instances in my life where my timing and God's timing just didn't line up. I can remember God had spoken to us about going into the ministry. And one night, God had given me a dream. And in this dream, I was on a set of stairs, and I was going up these stairs. And as I walked up the stairs, they got narrower and narrower until there was barely enough room for me to put my toe on a set of stairs. So as I was going up, I began to trip, and I fell, and one of my shoes went off. And I dropped some money that I had on the ground. And I was just barely hanging on there. I couldn't pick anything up, and I was barely trying to steady myself. And my pastor at the time came bounding up those stairs, picked up the money, picked up the shoe, and then helped me to get up the top. Next thing I know, I'm up at the top, and I'm ministering to people, and all of those other things. Okay? So that happened, and so as soon as I had that dream, boy, I'm thinking this is about to be fulfilled. Time went by. More time went by. And more time went by. Now, I remember the amount of money I dropped on those stairs in that dream. It was 75 cents. So I began to try to figure things out. 75, let's see, maybe that's 75 days. Maybe that's 75 weeks. It must be 7.5 years. And all of that amount of time went by. Nothing happened. Can anybody relate to that? And so what's the natural thing? You're questioning yourself, right? You're looking at yourself saying, guess God changed his mind. Maybe he called the wrong line, the wrong spiritual line, and got a hold of the wrong person. It's got to be Rhonda's doing something wrong to cause this delay. Must be me. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And every time I'd go back to God, he wouldn't tell me anything about the delay. He'd just remind me of the word, just like he did Abram. Never gave me a solution. Never gave me a step. Just told me the word over and over and over again. So if you don't get used to God being in control and get comfortable with his choice of you as a vessel, then you're going to either give up on the promise or you're going to create an Ishmael. Now, what is an Ishmael? Now, the child that was Hagar, that we read about the instance of what they decided to do to send Abram into Hagar and try to bring an heir to pass that way. The child that was born to Hagar was named Ishmael. And from the very beginning of the pregnancy, from the very beginning, before this child was ever born, a rift began between Hagar and Sarai. The very beginning. And this rift only continues after the birth of Ishmael. We're not looking at that necessarily today, but it continues. And when Isaac, the child of promise, is finally born and they throw a big feast on the day that Isaac's weaned, Sarai looks over and she sees Ishmael mocking on that day. And so the rift only continues. And guess what? The rift is still continuing today. It's the biggest foreign policy crisis of our time, the rift between the nation of Israel and the Arab population. And so, brothers and sisters, if you want to create a solution that may end up being the biggest obstacle to fulfillment of your promise, then try to give God a hand. God doesn't need our help. We got to get comfortable with God's divine delays and not take those as rejection. God knows how old you are. He knows where you live. He knows the obstacles in front of you. All that's already been considered and taken into consideration, and the plan already been put in place by him, although it may not have been revealed to you. It's already been put in place by him. He knows what he's going to do to take care of all of that. And it's already been considered when he spoke the word to you. The solutions were already in place when he spoke that original word to you. And so what we have to learn to do is be comfortable with God's timing and be comfortable being out of control. Because if you try to create an Ishmael, if you create one, then you're going to, same thing's going to happen to you that happened to Abram. I love the conversation between Sarai and Abram. Sarai looks at Abram and she says, this was a bad idea. She said, this was the wrong thing to do, and I know it was my idea. She said, but you're going to be the one that's going to have to deal with Ishmael. And if you create an Ishmael, one of these days you're going to have to deal with him. And that can be hard because sometimes you can create Ishmaels and you can be attached to those Ishmaels. Abram was very attached to his son Ishmael. He loved him, of course. But that was still a creation of the flesh and not a creation of the spirit. And there came a day where Abram had to deal with that. And he had to make a very difficult and painful emotional decision to send Hagar and Ishmael away to live in another place away from the son of the promise. And I'm going to tell you, when that day comes where you have to deal with Ishmael, that hurts. It hurts. And so avoid that problem and wait on God. Just wait on God. So I want to talk to you this morning real quick about how to survive a divine delay. The first thing you have to know is this. Remember that without faith, there is no adventure. So waiting on God requires faith on our part, right? Challenges that come to us through a delay, there's no adventure. I mean, if God said something to you and then it came to pass right after that, and he said something to you and it came to pass right after that, there would be no adventure. There would be nothing that makes the story rich. There would be nothing that would deepen our character and our faith and our dependence upon God. There would be nothing there that would, no part of the process there could be used to change us from who we are into something that looks more like God. And that's the adventure. If there's nothing to overcome, nothing to believe for, nothing to hope for, then there's no adventure. So if you want a life with adventure included, then you better learn to be comfortable living by faith. Now that's always going to stretch us, right? It's always going to stretch you. But you're going to have to be comfortable living that way, or you're not going to have a life with any adventure involved. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to follow God, God's not going to change his pattern. Okay, so this is the way he deals with us. And so we have to learn to flow with him as Lord and trust in the leadership and guidance of his spirit. How to survive a divine delay? The second thing is stand on the last word you heard from God. What was the last word Abram had heard from God? Through you, from your own body, will come the seed of the promise. From your own body. Now God is a God that does things through covenant. Sarah was Abram's covenant wife. So even though they didn't see any way how that was possible, God's plan was to do things through covenant. And they were just going to have to wait on God to bring his covenantal promise to pass. But if you haven't heard anything from God, you got to just stand on the last word you heard. If you need to know anything, God knows where you live and he can tell you. But until that time, you just believe what he's already told you. When pressure comes, the need to help God comes. Beware of this pressure. Now let me tell you, who cares what everyone else thinks? See, that's your problem. You care too much about what other people think. Who cares? This is the way God does things in life. And who cares what other people think? Well, here comes the kooks. And, you know, the family, here's the family dinner, you know. Here comes those kooky people that, you know, that say they believe in God and walk in with God. Who cares? Who cares? If you're going to be associated with Jesus, that's a good thing. All right? Who cares what the devil thinks? And who cares what you think? And that's where you got to get. You got to get the place where you don't care what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. Rhonda and I tell each other that sometimes. We'll say, it doesn't matter what we think about this. What matters is what God said. What did He say? He said it's time to show favor to Zion. What did He say? And that's what you stand on. What does the Bible say? So some of you are in this situation right now in Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? That's the day the enemy comes against you and tries to take all of God's promises and stuff away from you. And having done all on that day, if you've done everything you know what to do, what do? You stand. You stand and you stare the enemy in the face. You say, I'll outlast you. You just look at him and you go, if he said it to you, you just said, I'll be here today, I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be here the next day. And then I've got the spirit of the everlasting God within me. I'll be here every day. If you're wondering where I'll be right here. I am not going to back down on what God has said. If he has said it to us, we believe it, and we're willing to stake our life on that, alter our life on that promise, and we're willing to identify with that. Okay? And you just stand there and say, we're here. So you're going to need armor to stand. So some of you need to get in the book of Ephesians to be sure you're dressed for divine delays. Because when you start going through a delay, the enemy starts coming against you. He starts using every weapon and tool that he can bring up out of your past, out of the present, out of everything, every lack, every failure. Everything he will bring up and begin to toss it at you, and the shield of faith extinguishes all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the third thing is, God needs your obedience, but not your help. You know, if there's something, as I said earlier, if there's something you need to do, God will tell you. Rhonda and I, while we were waiting, we would sit and have these conversations, bless our heart. And they weren't always pleasant. We would sit there and we'd say, is there anything that we're not doing? After a while, I got sick of those conversations. I really did. It's like, I feel like I'm in some kind of performance thing. But they have value in the fact that, yes, there may be things that God is telling us to do in the matter of obedience. But in a supernatural walk with God, he's going to tell you things that there's nothing you can do to make it come to pass. And if you do and you try like Abram, you're going to make a mess. So we would have those talks. Is there anything else we need to do? God has shown me nothing. And sometimes that would not make you feel any better. Well, God hadn't shown me anything. I was hoping he had. So we're right back to standing again. Yeah, that's where we are. We're just right back to standing again. All right, that's all I wanted to know. And sometimes that's just where you are in this process. Because many of the plans that we devise during that time period are intended to remove scrutiny or pressure or discomfort or doubt. That's what they're intended to do, really. Not make the promise come to pass, yes, but to get us out of this uncomfortable place we're in called faith. We don't really like to walk by faith. Not really. Not really. And I'll give you a real good example of that. If God blesses you with a lot of money, and he tells you to give it all away like he did the rich young ruler, not many people do that. They start rebuking the enemy. Start rebuking the enemy. Say, that can't be God telling us to give something away. It can't be him. It can't be him. And then finally, if you keep talking about that, then I can just almost hear somebody holler in that conversation at some point in time, I don't ever want to get back to the place where we were living like we were before. Okay, I understand that maybe, so in other words, sometimes what we're saying is, I don't ever want to get back to the place where we're living by faith. I like it like it is. I like it knowing we got it. It's comfortable. Okay, we don't like to live by faith. But that's the walk that we walk with God. And I'm not saying if you got a lot of money, you need to give it away. If you do, keep the church in mind. I mean, if that's what you feel like God's saying. One day, I want to tell y'all something. There was a guy in our church at one time, this was early on when I first became a pastor. He walked in and he put a $38 million check in my hand to the church. Not many people know that. $38 million. And all he was waiting was for an insurance settlement to come through. And you know, the thing about it is then the guy disappeared and the money disappeared along with it. It didn't come through. And you know, that $38 million at that point in time, I was really looking forward to getting that because I felt like that was going to be some kind of validation for me. That I was walking with God and that I had done the right thing. And I know with that type of motivation, I would have hung on to that money as much as I could. Now, I don't know why I thought about this, Pastor Bob. Maybe God's going to bring that money back. But I was thinking about this just this yesterday. And I was thinking, I thought, Lord, wouldn't that be awesome? Man, we could give millions of dollars. Millions. Everybody say millions. Millions of dollars away. We just got back from Kenya. And I started thinking, David Hatley said, he said, I have always dreamed of getting that $1 million check. And I thought, we could do more than million. Maybe God's going to do that. I'm cool with that. But you know what? We got to get used to walking by faith. And God doesn't need our help at all. And we've got to be careful what actions that we take to remove these feelings of scrutiny and uncomfortableness in front of other people. Faith is the answer to the removal of these feelings, not necessarily some type of action. You have to renew your faith, and that does away with those feelings, not necessarily you going and helping God. So helping God can create a scenario that bursts something in the flesh rather than in the spirit. You know, Job said this in Job 14:14. He said, all the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. That's what Job said. In Psalm 105:17-19, it talks about Joseph. And it says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Between the time that he had gotten the word and it came to pass. Guess what? Being a carrier of that word was a test for him. And that's just the way that it is, right? Everything that happened in Joseph's life between the time God spoke to him, showed him in the dreams, and the time it came to pass looked like it was working opposite. I mean, you had to really be tapped into the Spirit to see that God was using Joseph as a leader during that period of time, but it wasn't anywhere near the palace. Okay, so the word of the Lord tested him, and it will test you too. So I'm done. But an Ishmael is the antithesis of the fulfillment of a promise of God. It is a product of the flesh instead of the Spirit, and therefore it will produce actions from its nature. Don't be surprised when your Ishmael acts after the flesh, because if it's a product of the flesh, it will perform actions from its nature. So the adventure comes when we don't know how or when God will fulfill his purpose. That's when the adventure comes. And unless he tells us to do something, all we really need to know right now is simply that he will fulfill his purpose. That's all we need to know. This is what he's going to do. And we just rejoice in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We just pray that your kingdom would be established in us. And Lord, we just pray your will would be done. And Father, I pray for all of those that are standing in faith for a word from God today. I pray, Lord, that you will cause us to be able to be faithful during this time of divine delay, realizing that what God has said, he will do. And that if we start wavering, we can look at the cross and see the covenant and understand that even if I'm not perfect and my spouse is not perfect, God is. And he's not a man who can lie or change his mind. And he will be faithful to what he has said. And the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Well, praise God.